Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
And it is 9:07. Good morning, Sean Crosgrove with you today, filling in for TK's back next Monday. We've got a big day coming up. Josh Fleming is in Queensland. Morning, Josh.
Yeah, good morning to you, Sean, and good morning, everyone. A little bit overcast up here this morning, and you've got all the heat down there, of course. We're only going to have probably 29, 30 degrees, I think, all week here. But, yeah, I've heard of the extreme heat you're going to get down there. But, yeah, look, the action was hot there on the track on the Gold Coast on Saturday, wasn't it? And a massive win by Exhilarates in the two-year-old Classic. Came from second last on the home turn and scorched home out wide to run down Dubious and Hightail. So it was a massive win by Exhilarates. And, yeah, the Blue Army, they've had a good run, haven't they? Winning the Melbourne Cup, of course, cross-counter. And now they can add the Magic Millions to the trophy cabinet as well.
Yeah, Ron Davisey with us and Dean Lester. Morning, Ron. Welcome back after your break.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It was a fantastic day on the coast. There was plenty of celebrations, I can tell you that much. When the big money's on offer, people celebrate for a long time, and they celebrate well. So some big results. Bjorn Baker, a winning double. Chris Waller, the same two horses, won the same two races as last year. That's incredible. Chris Munts on the board, and as Josh said, Godolphin, what an excellent play by them. You know, first time they've been back in the market, and they find the Magic Millions when they would have only bought, you know, half a dozen horses. So it's a good tick for them, for trusting their eye.
Dino, you would have been impressed with Exhilarates?
Yeah, the improvement she's made from run to run's been quite incredible, really, and that formula of backing up a week out's worked for another year at the coast.
Interesting to see that James Cummings has said probably a little bit of a let up back to Osborne Park, and then onto the Riesling. What did you think of that, Ronnie?
Well, she's earned it, that's for sure. You know, he's got a couple of really nice two-year-olds there. James, and you know, like I said, with her improvement, to think that she's gone this far. I remember seeing her early on at the trials and her first start, where she looked very raw and not ready, and you would have thought, oh, I don't know if she's any good. And then all she's gone is improve. She's one of these fillies that's just thrived being in work. So who's to say that she's not going to go out and come back better? So she's been well handled, and obviously she'll tell them where she should go. But I'd be aiming her towards the slipper.
Josh, in the run, calling, coming to the corner, you must have looked and thought, ooh, don't know about this.
Yeah. Well, I think I read a comment from Kieran McAvoy. He thought he was in trouble at the 600 as well. He sort of just got shuffled back into a bad spot and was back second last. But he was able to latch onto the back of Hightail and then get to the outside and run home over the top. Look, they ran quick time all day, didn't they? 1.895 they ran in the two-year-old Classic. And look, they're basically able to win from anywhere if they got the luck. There's always going to be some hard luck stories in big fields, of course. But look, we saw the first winner be up on speed terminology. We know Boom Sara basically led all the way. And Exhilarates came from near the back. Obviously, Egyptian Symbol did as well. So I thought it was sort of pretty fair in that regard. But look, really proud of the Queensland horse. I'll show a little bit of my own bias very briefly. 05 Glory was the best of ours around a wonderful race. 200-1. It was only beaten 3.9 lengths. So look, to pick up 50,000 for their owners, he did a wonderful job as well.
Josh, you were mentioning about in the call about Exhilarates and how far back it was. Is there a track where, when you're calling, that races change more than the Gold Coast? They just seem to change shape very, very quickly late in the race.
Yeah, probably not, Dino, and certainly not with the big fields as well. A lot can chop and change, and of course you can't see everything happen live. I mean, you can probably watch the race over, you know, three or four times to try and work out exactly what's happened. But yeah, look, it's a pressure race. They go, well, look at his split, don't they? And look, from a caller's perspective, there was a stack of blue. I reckon half the field had blue in the colours. So, and obviously she was one of them, the winner. So.
Yeah, you would have thought that when Dubious got through there, I think most people on course thought he was home, but she really lifted, didn't she?
Yeah, look, I'd love to know her closing sectionals, but yeah, she rattled them off, and she's just peaked at the right time, hasn't she? And spoke earlier about, I think it's four out of the last five winners have won the week before. Darryl Hanson was the first to do it with Le Chef 4 years ago, and Hootson did it, Sunlight did it, and now Exhilarates. So it's a really well-worn path, and it's proving certainly a very successful one.
Dino, talking of racing patterns, Flemington was interesting on Saturday when they came down the straight. It seemed the outside fence was the go. And when they came around the bend, it looked like you had to get about three or four off.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the surface, Sean. It was a strong headwind. And on the circle, it was sort of hitting them in the side as they came around the circle. So those horses, three and four wide, with a little bit of cover from the wind, were really advantaged. And down the straight, whenever we've got that headwind, they virtually gravitate to the outside, get that little bit of shelter from the stands. And it just seems to be the place to be. But, the first race we saw pretty brazen hard on the inside and that microphone right to the outside, and there wasn't much between them. But the wind certainly blew up later in the day, and I think that's what changed the pattern a bit.
Chester Manifold, Tony Noonan, he can always find a good horse.
Yeah, he's been sitting on this one for a fair while, Manalo Blahnik. He tested him as a three-year-old in some of the good races, and he wasn't quite good enough. But then they went back to basics last summer and won a good benchmark race, took him to Sydney and won over winter, and now he's got that stakes win on the board. And, he can win again. He's a good 1,400-metre horse. I don't know if he quite gets the mile, but 1,400 metres seems to be his absolute strong suit. And there's another one of these races on Saturday week at Caulfield over 1,400, and he's been effective at Caulfield, so no reason that he couldn't win another good race in a couple of weeks' time.
And, Ronnie, as well, Tony Noonan's always been one of those forward thinkers. I think probably about 10 or 11 years ago, he took a couple of horses, I think Smart and Mighty, Benedetti, over to Dubai before their real Fair Dinkum Carnival. He had a picnic with them.
Yeah, no, Tony's a great trainer. He places his horses well. He thinks it out. And don't know, he hasn't got a bigger stable as he once had, but what he's got, he does a good job with. There was a couple of great advertisements for the Weir stable there on Saturday, Chauffeur and Takedown. They're two tricky horses, and it's Darren's. We know how good Darren is with these types of horses, and they might just have a bit of fun with them. So Chauffeur's been always a horse that has looked group class, a long time ago, and he just hasn't delivered. And I think it's great to think, I think that it was Brad Widup's decision to send him just for that change of, change of scenery to Melbourne. And who knows, he could keep improving, or he could go the other way, that horse.
What did you make of him, Dean?
If he took the name away from him, it was a pretty straightforward win, wasn't it, really, Duff? He just travelled and quickened down, and he had a fair bit on them. He's paid a fair penalty for that because it was an open handicap and he was only a 77 rater going in, but I think he's gone up about 15 points for winning that race. But that might help him get into a bit better race too, and his ability to handle the straight was on offer on Saturday, so there's some nice straight races in the next few weeks.
Now, Josh, is Chris Munce, has he landed yet? Have they stopped throwing him around after Boom Sara won there on Saturday? It was like he was in the mosh pit, body surfing with him.
Yeah. He'd be pretty light to pick up too, wouldn't he? But, it was great to see. Look, unfortunate for Damien Brown, of course, had to forego the winning ride. I think Damo's got a perforated bowel, so he's had to have some surgery there. That sounds pretty uncomfortable, doesn't it? But, Tim Clark took the ride and look, he's got a real liking for the Gold Coast. He won the Jewel there as a two-year-old last year back in March, and he repeated the dose to win the Magic Millions Guineas on Saturday, and burnt the candle at both ends, ran good time as well, and just got the cash there from Bondi and Outback Barbie. That protest was dismissed third against second. Barefoot, gee, it went enormous to only be beaten about 2.25 lengths, dropping back from winning over 1,800 metres a week earlier, so really are proud of her run. But Boom Sara got the cash. It was a popular win, and champion little bloke Chris Munson, it was great to see it get the cash for him.
And it seems
one of the races.
You're
sorry, guys. Yes, I just thought it was one of the races of the day. Bondi headed him, and then Outback Barbie come around them. They're the three big hot shots in the race, and I thought it was a tremendous performance to fight back after doing a bit of work, getting across and being headed. He was excellent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Egyptian Symbol was an incredible effort to come from Stone Motherless.
Yeah, and she's had no luck on that day in the past where she's gone round favourite and had a bit of bad luck, getting back in the field. As backmarkers, they're always going to need that touch of luck. But you speak about closing sectionals. I'd love to know what hers was. I mean, she's notoriously very good first up. She's won 5 from 7 fresh now, but she just scorched home and grabbed Fiery Heights, who's, he's an honest campaigner, Fiery Heights. Wouldn't you love to own one like him? He's had 34 starts, 9 wins and 13 seconds. So trained by Barry Lockwood these days. That stable's going enormous, full stop. And, it was a great win from Egyptian Symbol there, scorching home, but loved the run of Fiery Heights. And Dothraki ran his usual race where he wasn't beaten very far, was he? He was only beaten about a length or so. No joy for Hootson. Interesting, she was adrift from the market, didn't begin all that well, didn't muster, and she was a spent force on the home turn, unfortunately, and she dropped out, so she couldn't back up that win, of course, in the T-Roll race a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they run 0.8 seconds quicker than the Magic Millions. I don't know what we put into that. So they've obviously gone out very hard. That was a, I think that was her fourth year at the Magic Millions, Egyptian Symbol. And, you know, a mare like her who's so well performed and already has a black type, I'm surprised that she's owned by a breeder, that she wasn't at wasn't in foal or in stud. But it certainly paid dividends not being that way.
We all love horses who put in and just give you everything. And I reckon, Ronnie, after that summer sprint, I would have just given Jungle Edge the biggest hug of all time.
Yeah, yes, but he met his match there. On the track drying out there on Saturday, yeah. It wasn't ideal for him. And the horse with the 49 kilos, just everything went to script there for single bullet. And that's his go, fresh. 1,000 metres at Randwick, just a little jar off the track, and he was back to the scene of the crime from a few starts back, and he delivered again. So Gary's worked him out, he's training him well, and knows how to handle him.
What a great effort by Jungle Edge, though, considering the track wouldn't have been, you know, exactly the way he wanted, but just keep. I love horses that put in like that.
Yeah, no doubt. No, he keeps delivering. He keeps picking up a check for Mick, and you know, he's got a few good wins in him left.
Now, Robbie Dolan, he's on fire at the moment, Ron.
Wow, he's really emerged, hasn't he? He's the go-to man as far as the... I don't know how long his claim's going to last, and we're going to take advantage of that 49 kilos that he rides. But he's doing the job. He's riding with confidence. The trainers are really after him at the moment, and he really finished off the day well there, and he's been riding well for, you know, 2 months now, so... He's really getting good books of rides and getting the job done. And obviously Linda Meach got the job done early in the day as well, because I think she'd be the first dual licence holder in Sydney to ride a winner, and she'd come out and rode the first two winners there on Saturday.
Yeah, I was wondering, Dino, there's a bit of Victorian influence here. Did you get a dollar out of Saturday's Randwick?
I had something at the short odds on Star Fall, because he's a good horse going through the grades, and it was interesting that... Duff, they resisted the temptation of going for the big dollars and just taking the little fish there and scratching him from the coast.
Well, this Ma Eustace team, they've announced that they're going to open a stable at Warwick Farm, and they're just doing everything right. They're buying, they're bringing the right horses to Sydney to show themselves off.
Yep.
And it's sales time, and the people are, I'll tell you what, people are taking notice. And they tell me this girl that they got here is a star. The girl that's going to look after
Annabelle Neesham.
Yeah, I haven't met her, but there's talk around that she is a really good horse person. And
in the period when Kieran was suspended, she really had to step up, and she did a magnificent job. So she's well and truly capable of running a show like that.
Yeah, he's they're doing all the right things to capture the attention of the Sydney owners. That's for sure.
Dino, David Brighter gave a bit of a fresh into Extreme Bliss. They got $11, it.
Yeah, and they got a bit of soft ground, which is just perfect for her, and she got the money. It was big odds. She won really well at Moonee Valley, but I think a bit like Jungle Edge, have been following the soft ground because they scratched her a couple of times last weekend from the dry tracks down here.
A little saver on her. I like backing David's horses when he travels them. He's good at it. And I was interested in her form. She's had a lot of runs, and she was, you know, more as a sprinter. And then he stepped to the up a little bit in distance, and she found a bit of form. So she probably is a miler. And, geez, he can ride that Malian. If he was a bit lighter, he's a really good rider.
Yeah, I'd sort of, in the older days, relate him to someone like Larry Olsen. He's a very kind, quiet rider, and just picks his way through fields very, very quietly. And you know, he's a good rider.
Ronnie, Tanico was a nice win. Came from back in on the fence and got home well. How far do you think it can go?
Well, I think he's more or less a summer horse, but you never know with these horses. They can keep improving. I think the small field suited him. At his previous start, he just got too far back. He was set an impossible task, and I think everyone agreed with that, and he got the job there. So, look, I don't think that was a strong race. I thought there was a horse in that Catesby who was attacked in the lead by Roman Typhoon. I thought his was the best run in that race. I know his form's, like I said, well exposed, but he was entitled to give up before he did. So I thought his run in that race was the best.
All right. Now, there are a few other nice runs at the coast on Saturday too, Josh. Mm. Chapter and Verse was a good run.
Yeah. Lovely ride by Mark Duplessis. Very special win for Desley Forster. This horse was bred by Basil and Di Nolan there at Raheen's Stud. And, of course, Basil Jr. tragically passed away in November last year. So it was a very special win for them. Got the job done there. Great to see Dan Griffin as well, King of the Coast, get home on Mr. Marcoux. No joy for Reckless Choices back, as it was unlucky. Got that inside run late, but Mr. Marcoux just got off and won narrowly. So, yeah, he's been through a bit lately. Griffo had that injury with his back there and made the comeback, and there he was riding winners on Magic Millions Day. So, yeah, great success for him and also for Desley, Mark Duplessis in Chapter and Verse as well.
That was the highlight of the day for me. I was in front of two Nolan boys who'd lost their father, and they're watching the race in front of us, and the joy that they got out of that win was just, bring a tear to your eye watching those boys. It was, and they're really good boys too.
Yep. Tokariki Lad was a good run in that, Josh, it flew home.
Yeah, and that's his go. He's a back marker who runs on, and he's got a good record at the Gold Coast as well, that horse. He was able to make good late ground out wide, but... went down by about three quarters of a length in the end. And that's the sort of race where a lot of those horses aren't going to race for that money on a regular basis, are they? So for that big money to go off and, Ronnie, you were talking about the celebrations there earlier on. I mean, when they get the opportunity to race for that money, they certainly really do celebrate. And, what's that work out to be for the winner? It was 600 jumps in there with Chapter and Verse, so it was wonderful for them. But, it was an eye-catching run from Tokariki Lad, and there's going to be a win again in him very soon, I'd say, Cozzy.
Microphone Dino at Flemington, the two-year-old and the first, Wayne Dunn, seemed to be pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He'd trialled on three occasions leading in, so he's well-educated. His first trial was fairly average. He really improved with the blinkers, probably went too hard in his second trial, and then he had a trial down the straight leading in, and he went very well, hence his short price on Saturday. He got a little bit wound up in the mounting yard. He got quite amorous with everything in the mounting yard, but once he got on the track, he was as good as gold, and he raced really well. And where he trialled the week before, he came down the exact same lane out wide, and it's hard for two-year-olds often without the rail to do what he did, and he did a good job. I think the second filly's pretty smart, pretty brazen. She was the total opposite. She was so relaxed in the yard, and I think she's a really nice filly going forward. And even the third filly, colt, I should say, ran very well in Oxen. He was the other Godolphin runner. I'd be trusting those first three. I think they were pretty good.
I spoke to James about those two horses of his on Saturday morning, and he seemed to think, although Microphone was pretty sharp and had the harder trials, I got the impression that he thought this Oxen might be the improver with time. And the way he was talking, he thinks they could well both develop into Blue Diamond types.
Yeah, Oxen might be more exceeding cell type like Helmet. Big, strong, robust sort of horse. Wouldn't be surprised if he got right through, Blue Diamond size, Produce, whatever they want to aim him at. He's pretty strong, and Microphone will improve. He looked really well, but there's just a little bit of tightening, a little bit of to go. So he's ticking over well, and I would think this might be a pretty handy race, because I think the McAvoy team have got a strong opinion of Pretty Brazen.
Anything else catch your eye there on Saturday? I am someone's a good honest horse. You'd like one like him?
He was probably one of the better wins of the day. It was only the benchmark 70, but he won easily, and he'll keep winning those sort of benchmark races through to open grade. He's got form around Nature Strip, so you know that he can go to a higher grade and win. And probably the one I want to follow out of the race six was Nantali. She was beaten, but she just pulled a bit hard. Even though three wide wasn't a bad spot to be on Saturday, she just raced a bit keenly, and she was probably beaten, probably by a better ride as much as anything. Luke Curry drew 11 and ended up one out and in a beautiful spot, and she just over-raced a bit. So probably want to be with Nantali in the next couple of weeks.
Ron, how far does Earth Angel need to win one?
Yeah, I think we can find one long enough for it.
You can shoot peas to her, can't you? She's a light look, a light filly.
Yeah, I don't know where her future lies. I think they'll just chip away, and
they've got a little bit of black type with her. Yeah, they got a bit of black type the other week, so.
I'm wondering if she might be in foal herself. Some of these mares are in foal now, and just they have a run or two, and then they although they have to tell us now. And I didn't.
Yeah, no, she's not. I wouldn't think no, she is. Yeah.
No, but she will be next year.
Now, Josh, a few other great races there. Tumultuous, Robbie Fraddy, he just never left the paint at the Coast.
No, and he's we keep saying the form that he's been in since coming back. Rob, he's on fire, and won the same race last year, and a massive effort from Chris Waller to go back to back with both of them, didn't he? Tumultuous in the trophy, and then Invincibella's win in the fillies and mares. That's a big effort in itself to win those two back-to-back, but made full advantage of Barry One, got up on the inside and just edged out Goodfella late. Black on Gold was a terrific late out wide to run home into third as well. One of the best runs all day with Silfeet, strike me. Pinker was 1,200 to 2,200, a massive step up in trip, and it loomed up as a chance on the home turn. In the end, was only beaten two lengths, so Matt Kamani did a wonderful job there. I didn't think she could run that well. She went enormous.
Incredible. Everyone was laughing at them prior to the race, but they come out of the race with their beating their chest.
Mm, definitely.
That track was interesting Saturday, Josh, because it looked like they could come from anywhere.
Yeah, they did. Look, the first winner was On Speed Terminology, and obviously Boom Sara was up there as well. Look, in those big fields, you're going to always have some hard luck stories, ones that don't begin well or they get themselves into trouble back in the field. But, they're able to win from a long way back if they got an unimpeded run, and that's what happened to Egyptian Symbol. She came from last and was able to blouse them, and Exhilarates did similar in the two-year-old classic. Didn't quite go to plan for others that were back in the field. Miss Turek Fly is one that springs to mind. I think slipped behind, didn't it, Ronnie? I think I was reading in the steward's report, so bit of a nightmare for her, unfortunately.
Yeah, she had legitimate excuses.
Mm, definitely.
And the Magic Millions, it seemed like a pretty clean run race, Josh. They all had the chance, bit different last year when a few of them got poleaxed.
Yeah, we didn't have that drama, thankfully, that we did there last year. But, I was just reading some of the comments online from some of the jocks. Didn't go to plan for United and Conquer at the start. Did it, drew 15 gate, didn't begin, and it was going to be tough from there. But, look, all honours with the winner, but Hightower was sensational off the Orchid Barrier. McAvoy was just able to get onto the back of Bowman there and get home over the top. And as I say, the Queensland filly was enormous. So Far Glory, she was the best of ours. 200 to 1, and I didn't think she could run that well. I thought she went enormous for Pete and Will Hulbert and young Taylor Marshall in the end. I was only beaten four lengths and picked up the 50,000 there. So she did her owners proud. She ran a wonderful race for them.
Do you think Linda Meach will ride more in Sydney for Kieran Maher? I mean, she's got that interesting situation with the dual licence, hasn't she?
Well, now that she can, she may well do. And, of course, she's got great experience in Sydney. She's rode up there for a long time. So I don't think there's any problem with her wanting to do that. She'll just pretty much... she's sort of got the second fiddle role. Probably Mark Zara gets the pick of the rides at the Eustace Maher stable. But then outside of him, it's probably Linda Meach's call. And so she might get a lot of jobs doing that over the next couple of years.
Well, she did have that association with Star Fall, so it was probably they wanted to keep that winning habit going there. So I'd suggest that'd be the main reason she was in Sydney on Saturday.
Yeah, she is doing a lot of riding for the stables. That she has. Yeah, I mean, she's become like she was doing for Peter Moody, being the second string rider for Mar Eustace, who are now the biggest stable probably at Caulfield.
And she's not frightened to find a racetrack to go and ride at either, dinner.
No, and she's quite happy to at one stage, she was going around by helicopter, but I think those days are gone.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to take the news. 1353 53, you can call now to talk to Josh, Dino or Ron. 1353 53, give us a call now. 9:30, Sky Sports Radio. Let's update the latest news and sport with Madison Clare Sloan.
Morning to you, Cozzy. Well, 14 Aussies are in action on day one of the Australian Open, with James Duckworth, the first local at Rod Laver Arena, against Rafael Nadal, men's defending champ Roger Federer, closing the day one action. Cam Bancroft hit an unbeaten 87 for the Scorchers to sink the Sixers in the Big Bash. The Sydney Thunder are second on the leaderboard after a 71-run win over the Sixers. Steve Smith prepares for elbow injury tomorrow. Cricket officials are checking their calendars to see when he might be back in action, with reports recovering time might take up to 12 weeks. Australia must name their World Cup squad by April 23rd. The Western Sydney Wanderers coach Marcus Babbel has called for the A-League refereeing standards to improve after his side's 4-3 loss to Perth Glory. While earlier Sydney FC held off Adelaide United 2-1, Sydney sits second on the table, tied with Melbourne Victory. And in Premier League this morning, Everton have picked up a much-needed win, beating Bournemouth 2-0 at home, marking their first win in 5 matches, while Man United claimed their 6th win in a row with a 1-0 victory over Tottenham. That's all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the best in Sydney night racing. Come and lap up free entry and a wide array of the best food markets in town at Canterbury Friday night. If you can't be trackside, the late mail, interviews and the calls are all here on Sky Sports Radio.
Your next chance to experience Kia Friday Night Racing at Canterbury Park is this Friday.
Enjoy live music and delicious delights at the Canterbury Foodies Markets.
A host of kids' entertainment and the nightly $1,000 cash giveaway.
With free entry, it's a Friday night carnival that everyone can enjoy.
So get your friends and family together at Canterbury Park this Friday for Kia Friday Night Racing. Hospitality packages start at $60 in the Guinness restaurant.
To find out more, visit theraces.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio is all over the best harness racing in New South Wales and Australia. Tuesdays, Greg Hayes brings you the latest news and talks with the key players. On the Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30.
Here on Sky Sports Radio.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272 or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Yep, give us a call now, 13 53 53, to talk to the guys. Tomorrow morning, the trials are on at Rose Hill, and the gift that keeps on giving is back. Winks trialing again, Ron.
Yeah, and we all can't wait. It's all come quickly, hasn't it? So, we can't wait to see her again. And obviously, she goes through the same routine every year. And she'll do her thing at the trials. Just have I'd suggest a nice, quiet trial, and they'll run the eye over and tick everything off, and then we'll move on to the next trial. So, in anticipation for tomorrow morning, because she's our star. She's a world star.
Ron, if she comes out and this prep just flies and is, you know, as dominant as always, I just keep thinking the romance of it all. Manikato won 5 William Reeds, and you just wonder, would they keep it going? Won't happen, straight to stud?
No, I think that's enough's enough. I think they've come out and said that. This is the Queen Elizabeth would be the last run I've read somewhere, no matter what happens.
Yep.
If she gets that far, they're saying. So they're not getting ahead of themselves. All they're saying is the Queen Elizabeth, if it is the Queen Elizabeth, I couldn't imagine Debbie wanting to run Winks in the Queen Elizabeth with the family history and the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Like, Octagonal got beat in his last run in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Lonro got beat in the Queen Elizabeth. And Debbie's such a superstitious person. Yeah. I think she'd be shaking in her boots having a last run in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes.
Yes.
And I don't know whether everyone's asking the question. I'm not going to myself.
You can call now, 1353 53, 1353 53, to talk to the guys. It's just incredible to think that she just keeps coming up as well as every prep, isn't it?
Oh, no, she's just been so well handled. And, you know, what can you say about Winks that hasn't already been said?
Yeah, I know tomorrow she'll just actually see, she'll probably just poke around, run a nice quiet sixth in the trial. And then she'll come back, a couple of weeks later for another trial, Ron?
I'd say so. That's the routine with her. And like I said, she's got to please everyone and do everything the way she has in the past. And then it'll be full steam ahead. If she doesn't, I've got no doubt that they'll revisit the plan.
Right, Pat's with us. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, gentlemen. About Debbie Kapitis, when you were just saying that, I wonder if she donates that dress to St. Vincent de Paul. She's worn it 27 times.
It's the lucky one.
No, hey, she's bought the cloth, hasn't she? She's got different different designs of it, but it's all the same material.
I thought it was the same dress.
She's got a couple of different designs of it, but it's the same pattern every time.
Okay, now there was two things I wanted to talk about. The first thing is about horse syndication. Now, I've been buying shares in horses for just on 50 years, and I've had a little bit of luck. I've only had one horse that ever made Group 1, and that was Bruego back in 93. Are you there, boys?
Yep, we're here.
Back in 93. But I did something very unique about 6 weeks ago that I don't think anyone could probably match this. Mm. I had three horses in the one day with Joe Cleary. One was having its first start, was Kiss My Swiss, then Lucy Rose, and then Bart. And all three won on the one day. And then the following week, the other horse that I had, El Toronado with Carl Spry up in Darwin, who's won about 5-6 races up there, he won. So I only had shares in four horses, and within 1 week, all four won.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Can we rub you for luck?
Yeah.
No, but then I had about 6 or 7 in a row that never made it to the race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's horse syndication has its ups and downs, but it's the best way to get people involved into racing today. Without horse syndication, we wouldn't have had sales like the Magic Million fetching so much money.
Well, Pat, as they say, 5% of the cost, 100% of the fun.
Exactly, the fun. Now, the second thing I want to say is, you know when there's late scratchings and there's protest and it's upheld and people have thrown away their tickets? I don't think the TAB has the right to keep that money. I think that money should go into a jockey's fund for jockeys that are doing it tough. It's not the TAB money, it's our money. It's the punter's money. And I don't want the TAB to hold that or keep it. I don't want the state government to keep it. I want jockeys that are in need to keep that money. And that money go on.
If you've lost your ticket, I think you can lodge a claim though, can't you?
I know, but some people for 50 cents or a dollar, that's a late scratch, and they're not going to even bother, right? But you add up thousands of those 50 cents at the end of the week or the end of the year, and that money belongs to the punter. It doesn't belong to the state government or the TAB. And we should have a say where that money goes.
I think this question has been brought up in the past, Pat, and I'm sure that money does go to some sort, after so many years of, what I don't know,
consolidated
what
revenue.
It does go to people in need. Or I'm sure when that question has been asked before, because there is millions and millions of dollars sitting there, you're right.
That's exactly, millions.
But I do think it does go to a proper place. So,
can you find
to the
out,
bottom.
Ron?
We'll try and find out again. But we have asked the question before.
All right, boys, and that's it. You know, thank you very much for letting me have my day.
Cheers, Pat.
Let's hope your horses keep winning for you, Pat. Now, Eric, just before we come to you, we've just got word from Mark Van Gestel. Corowa will be transferred to Thursday. Early start race times, 10:15 the first. We'll run through all these a little later on. But Corowa will be transferred. That's the meeting for tomorrow. Will be transferred to Thursday because it looks like the heat from Mark Van Gestel. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Hello.
Yes, Eric?
Hey, Eric.
Look, I've got a question that's been bugging me. I'm interested in Tezort. They got the Dolphins got the two in the betting in the Golden Slipper, Tezort and the Magic Million winner. Why, and when they're being interviewed, James and Darren, why hasn't a question been asked? What's their opinion? What's the difference between the two, if any? And I was wondering why that question's never been asked. I've been listening to interviews. And I thought it was the obvious question.
Well, I'll make it a fact. Next time I talk to him, I'll ask him that for you, Eric. But I don't think there's been any comparison until Saturday, because she hadn't put her hand up, really, Exhilarates, until 2 weeks ago. And now that she's won the Magic Million, I suppose the question's probably due to be asked. But I think you'll find that they've got a massive opinion of Tezort.
Eric, in your mind, which one do you think is the better?
Well, I'm only going on one race, but I don't know what's going on at the stables, of course. But I'm only going on one run. I think it's a special horse, Tezort. But I just don't know how special it is.
Mm. Yeah, I think Godolphin might agree with you, Eric. I think they think he's... Well, they're treating him like their number one seed, put it that way.
Yes. That's what I'm following. I was just curious why the question, obvious question, has been asked.
We'll put it to them. Good on you, Eric. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks a lot, gents.
1353 53, you can call now to talk to the guys. 1353 53. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good.
I probably want to talk to the Melbourne guys in regards to order of command on Saturday.
Yep.
What was the reason for the big flop?
I don't know, to be honest. I thought he was up significantly in grade. He was up from a 84 grade to an open handicap, so he was up about three grades. But he presented well.
He struggled to beat one home. I don't know if he might have beat one.
Well,
home.
He had to ease. No, he had to ease probably 100 out when he ran out of room. He was probably going to run fifth, I would say, which is still below where you wanted him to be. Obviously, he was a $2.30 favourite, but he raced very flat. He just didn't have any of the spark that he's usually had. And after the race, there was no apparent reason for the run, but he was below his run. But in fairness, the last 100, I mean, Damien Oliver virtually just had to sit up on him because he'd run out of room. But he was, I would have thought he'd have finished beside Stellar Collision, who ran fifth.
I just didn't see anything about it.
Something no, he vetted clear straight after the race.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that.
Okay.
Good on you, Wayne. He's only beaten, not quite 3.5 lengths, Dino, isn't he?
Yeah, some days that can feel like a long way when they're $2.30, Sean.
When you've had your heart. 1353 53, you can call now to talk to the guys. 1353 53, we're taking your calls. As you mentioned, Chauffeur. And Darren, where would he go to from here, do you reckon, Dino, Chauffeur?
I don't know, Sean. There's probably there's sprinting options in the next few weeks. There's even go to the provincials for a race like the Sale Quality, which is a $60,000 or $80,000 sprint to just keep him ticking over. But I don't know if there's a straight race now for him until probably for about 4 weeks. I'm just going through the calendar as we speak, and because we sort of do a fair bit of Caulfield racing coming up. There's not really. There's a Benchmark 90 on the 16th of February, so maybe that's probably his next option.
Tim's with us. Voting start for this All-Star Mile. How's that shape?
The entries close tomorrow, and the voting starts on the 21st of January. Duff?
21st.
Yeah.
Tim's with us now. Morning, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, gents. How you going?
Good.
I'm a bit of a greenie with the horses and whatnot. I just wonder if I could ask the fellas what's the story with barrier trials? We've just bought a percentage in a horse, and it hasn't started barrier trials yet. But how does it all work? Do they just do one and then go straight to races, or do they have to do a couple?
Where's the horse in New South Wales?
In Toowoomba.
Okay, Josh.
How old is it?
2-year-old filly.
Yeah, they don't have to trial publicly here.
Okay, so
I'd say in Toowoomba to be jumping out though. They have a lot of jump outs up there.
Yeah. Well, it would depend on the horse's tractability and sensibility, how many times it trials, but you'd think a minimum of two.
Yeah.
And I suppose depending on who the trainer is as well, they'll have
What their technique is.
They'll do it their own way, but they don't trial publicly.
Ben Curry, the trainer.
Okay. Well, it's in good hands then. They have a lot of jump outs up there. They don't trial publicly, normally when we get to the track, the market can be the best guide, but obviously Ben will have his own way of going about it, and however many jump outs they want to do with the horse, it'd be up to him, but it's certainly in safe hands, I'd say.
All right, just the other one too is, can you just give me a quick description of benchmarks? I mean, how do they work?
I suppose simply, boys, the higher the number, the better the horse is a simple way to put it, isn't it? I mean,
When you win your maiden, depending on how many starts you've had, you'll get a figure assigned to the horse somewhere between probably 58 and 63, 64, depending on how impressive or how many starts they've had. And for every win, if you race in your class, you go up, four or five, up to 6 points on the way through. So that's, if you've won a maiden, you probably progress to a benchmark 64 or whatever, near enough to the benchmark figure, and then go from there. So with every win and with every unplaced run, you get considered to get your points dropped down, so you can actually drop a grade in time as well.
Yep. Ah, okay. All right. So what's the sort of highest benchmark before you go into the sort of open races?
Well, open races, the open handicaps, well, I'm only speaking from Victoria experience, but 90 is the minimum weight of how an open handicap's rated. So if you're under 90 rated, you're below open handicap standard.
Okay. And the other thing is, have you heard of the horses Whittington and Country Singer?
Heard of Whittington, I reckon.
So this is the breeding, is it?
Whittington stands at in Queensland now. It's breeding types of horses. Country Singer is the mare, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't know a lot about it, but obviously it's a Queensland breed, and it's a 2-year-old now. It wouldn't be far off jumping out or even racing.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Thanks for all your information, fellas. I really appreciate it, and it's a great show.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Good luck with your horse.
Too right, Tim. It's always exciting, and I reckon the day they have their first start, it's like sending a child to school for the first day. You just think to yourself, get home safely, behave, and don't embarrass me. Is that a fair description, Ron?
Yes, 100%.
And raid the Bicky jar and bring us home some money.
Exactly.
Don't Timothy your mates, because you'll be a mugger that gets beat.
That's it.
Don't keep Timothy your mates. 13:53:53. You can call right now to talk to the guys. 13:53:53. We'll take a quick break. It's 12 to 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chin wag today, as always.
Chin Wag with Cozzy brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Whoever you're backing, Tab's got you covered. This Saturday, place a fixed odds win bet on races 1 to 4 at Rosehill in Flemington. If your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account bets only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
There's nothing better than summer racing on the Northern Rivers. This Friday, Ballina stages their Summer Cup meeting with Country Showcase prize money. Ballina tips from 10, Friday morning on Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
13 53 53, Andrew's with us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Terrific.
Good. Just a quick question to Dina or Duck. I've got a horse. I'm in the same boat as the other bloke. First horse, I got a horse with Hayes and Dabernick in Melbourne.
Yep.
By Star Witness. Now, it's gone shin sore 3 times. Any good? Or is it bad or what?
Well, that can happen. Yeah, can just happen. Just immaturity, soft bones. You know, just for them to have given him 3 preparations, somewhere along the way he's shown them something, I would say.
Yeah, they're giving him a jump out and he pulled up pretty, like he wasn't good in the jump out, but he pulled up pretty sore after it. So, he's back in work now, so hopefully, fingers crossed, I can get a bit of luck like the other bloke.
Yeah, this might be the preparation.
That's not unusual.
Yeah, it's all part of the process. Some get through it a lot easier, don't they, Duff? But some do have 2 or 3 preps of shin soreness, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't let it worry. You've just got to stay a little bit patient. It's not unusual for a young horse to go shin sore once, twice, 3 times, even 4 times. But once they start telling you it might need a bit more time, then you start.
Yeah, that's a bit of a worry.
Look, I've been racing 20 years. I've never owned a horse before. So I went out and bought myself a greyhound a couple of months ago. I actually bought 2, and, mate, she's flying the greyhound. She's had 20 starts for 14 wins, so you can't complain about that.
Hang on. Yeah.
So I bit the bullet and I got them off before, so I flicked her on.
Good on you.
good on you. Terrific. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks, bud. Bye.
All right. Now, Andrew's with us. Dennis, sorry. How are you, Dennis?
Yeah, good, thanks, fellas. We had our first runner in Sydney on Saturday. And it ran 4th, and after the race, we were keen to go and talk to the jockey about, see what he thought about it. And we went down there and we could see the jockey on the other side of the fence. And this lady come up to us and said, oh, no, you've got to go down the tunnel and stand near your number. We thought, oh, yeah, all right then. Next thing you know, we see the jockey run down, walk down the other side. We couldn't talk to him. It just seemed a bit strange. The setup there.
You were out. So where your jockey got on out the back there at Randwick?
Yeah.
You stayed out the back waiting for it to come back, did
you?
Oh,
out the front. Out the front.
Oh, okay.
Back, yeah. And there's that tunnel there. And there's all numbers to the side of your horse number.
Oh, okay.
And this
lady
said, you know, you've got to go and stand there. We could see the jockey over the other side of the fence. And next, we're all standing there. And then the jockey ran down the other side of the ramp, and we couldn't get to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the story is there, mate.
Right there.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good there, so...
Yeah. Well, just interested to see what he thought about it, you know?
Yeah, obviously.
Our first runner in Sydney, ran fourth, so happy trail it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know what the situation is there, and maybe it was a bit of a mix-up, or... probably...
For us next time. Hopefully we might be better there.
Hopefully.
That was exciting,
but
first runner in Sydney,
ran
fourth.
Good on you.
Gee.
He's won a
couple
of races too. Yeah, run 8 starts to 3 wins now, so.
Gee,
the worst
has gone
as 4, so.
No, she's going well.
Okay, you've been blessed.
That's all, thanks.
Good on you, Dennis. And to have one good enough to run in town, that is a terrific effort. Kurt's with us now. Morning, Kurt. Hello, Kurt.
G'day, Cozzy. How are you?
I'm good, mate. You well?
Yeah, good, eh? Good day, boys. How are you all?
Hey, Kurt.
G'day, Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Welcome back, Ronnie. 2019, mate.
Yeah, this is our year, mate. This is our year.
All right. Well, Ronnie, I got a Group 1er ticked in for the year, but I haven't seen her in work or anything. Have you seen Girl Tuesday in work?
Did she trial the other day? I thought she might have trialled the other day, Kurt. I might be wrong because I'm a little bit behind because this is my first week back for a while.
Yeah,
but I'm sure I spotted her at the trials. I think she may have been.
Yep. Ran fourth on the 11th. Yeah, Friday behind Tokomaki.
Yeah, well, so she's back.
Thanks, Ronnie. I'll look that up. Thank you for that. And Dino?
Yes, Kurt.
Yeah, if you can just help us, Matt, I know this is probably info people can find out easy, but I don't do computers, Matt, and I know you know everything about everything down there.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah, just with the 2-year-old Millennium race, Dino.
Yeah.
I only know one Victorian sire. Can you just throw another 4 or 5 at us? I got Ridden Tycoon.
Right.
You know the criteria for having a horse in the race, so I'm able to conjure up my horses, you know?
The Millennium's for the sales, though, isn't it?
Yes, I don't think it's for Victorian sires, is it, Kurt? I think it might be just for Inglis.
Oh, I thought it was Victorian sires only.
No, that's Super Vobis Day, but the Millennium race, isn't that in Sydney?
Warwick Farm.
Yeah, it's Warwick Farm. So it's a sales-based race.
No, well, I'm getting mixed up with the race. The new 2-year-old.
Yeah, the sires, the Victoria, the Super Vobis Gold sires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll be in April. So any 2-year-old you see with Super Vobis Gold next to it, it would be eligible.
Okay, so that's just next to the name in the guide.
Yeah.
All right, and just one before I bail, Dino.
Yes, Kurt.
Bet Red, debuter I saw there at the secondary meeting in Victoria on Saturday.
Right.
Winning next start for sure.
Okay.
Bet Red.
Bet Red.
All right, boys,
good on you, Kurt. Thanks, Kurt. I'd hate to try and sneak one somewhere and have Kurt not notice it.
I get nervous.
He's brilliant. He is brilliant. Craig joins us now. Good morning, Craig.
G'day. It's an
honour
to be asked
with
the legend, Kurt.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. You're riding on his coattails there.
I just wanted... the Autumn Sun, is that going over to Ascot this year or... Is that the plan?
Not sure. I think obviously the initial the Autumn in Sydney, and obviously they got Cox Plate on their mind as well. I don't know whether he would. I don't think he would.
I think if he wasn't to race as a 4-year-old, he might. But if the Cox Plate's what they've got on their mind, he won't.
So they are going for the Cox Plate because
I don't know.
I don't want to stretch it out to 2,000 for breeding. We'd rather just have the sprint and miles.
I don't know about that.
Maybe he might be at stud after this autumn.
Yeah,
I think he might be going to, be a chance he could be heading to stud.
The autumn setting, son.
And do you know what happened to Grunt last year? Like, it looked like it was going to be, you know, in the thick of things and then tailed off at the end. Any reason for that? Or?
Yeah, or maybe he's just a miler and they tried to push him out over further, and the deeper he got into the preparation, the worse he went. Certainly after his third up win in the Maccabi Divas Stakes, you thought he was back on track, and then he failed 1,800 and 2,000 and lost his way. I think he's he's certainly proven that he's just absolutely at his best at Flemington, and I'm sure he'll be trying to get into this all-star mile, because his two Group 1 wins have been at the mile at Flemington, so he's probably a horse that should be considered for a race like that.
And is he a stallion or a gelding?
No, he's a stallion. Absolutely, he is.
Yeah, he might be out of his mind on the girls or...
I can't speak for him personally, but he was very quiet at the races. He just didn't seem to, look, he doesn't go at Caulfield, there's absolutely no doubt at that, which is unusual because it's his home track, but he certainly doesn't have he hasn't run a place at Caulfield, and yet he's won nearly most of his big wins have been at Flemington.
So who would be the big players in the all-star mile then at this stage, other than maybe him if he's back to form?
Oh, I think Darren Weir's got a big number of horses involved. Godolphin have entered three or four. The big entry that's not there, of course, is Winx, and that's probably not occur. So that will be it'll be up for grabs. So I think the voting opens next week, as I said.
Yeah. Okay. No worries. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Thanks, Craig. Dino, just quickly, that horse had a huge rap on it during the week. The Robbie Lang horse, Gennady. What happened?
Well, I think there'd been a lot made of his jump out, where he won by a long way with blinkers on and ridden right out, and then he won an official trial, and he was very, very much hyped off limited exposure. A horse called Columbus Circle had done probably just as much, and he actually won the race, first starter for Nick Ryan. I think Gennady, maybe he just come to the end of it, I mean, he is a son of Polanski. Maybe he should be looking to get over further rather than trying to win 1,100-metre races.
Fair enough. Now, ones to follow from the weekend. Josh, your horse to follow?
I'm going to nominate Reckless Choice, boys, who was unlucky in that Country Cup there. He was well-supported late in betting as well, and I think he's going really well, that horse. So any luck next time, I think he can go one better, Reckless Choice.
Ronnie?
I think all the form out of that Gold Coast meeting is going to come out of that maiden. And I want to be all over Rock when
Rock.
He comes back to Sydney.
Yeah.
He will charge through his classes.
Yes.
And the filly out of that race will win plenty of races as well, Dunbrody Power. But Rock's the horse of that meeting that clearly stands out for me.
Yep.
All right, Dino, what did you like?
As I mentioned earlier, I think Nantali's ready to win. She's going really well. So I think just a bit more luck next time she can win.
All right, I liked one there as well. They flew home, reckon when he gets back to 1,400, Tokariki Lad. Was a terrific run up the coast.
Can I just bring one thing up before we go with Dean about this All-Star Mile?
Yeah.
Just in the market here, we got Winx $1.80 favourite. Now, if they vote Winx in, surely she's not running in it. We know she's not running. I think it was just a precaution that she's nominated for that race.
No, she's not nominated. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the Racing Victoria hanging on her being entered, but she's not. She still hasn't been nominated. I don't think she will be.
Okay. I'm just looking at a pre-post. Oh, actually, it says pre-noms, actually. Yeah, you're right. Winx $1.80, the Autumn Sun $6, and probably the most legitimate horse in the market. There is a Leezy at $8. So I didn't know that. Sorry.
Yeah. No, she's yet to be nominated.
Right, good. You're Ronnie. Good to have you back. We'll catch up with you next week.
See you, guys.
Thanks, Ron. Josh, have a top week.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
And Dino, we'll talk to you no doubt through the week.
You will indeed. Thanks, Sean.
10 o'clock, Sky Sports Radio.